Fan Morning Show, Sports 759 of the Fan. I'm JD Bunkus. Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. Just checking to make sure I'm muted on all my things so Ailish doesn't get mad at me. Luke Fox, our buddy, NHL writer for Sportsnet, joins us now. What's up, buddy? How are we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing well. We're doing well, man. No real complaints other than watching the Leafs fail to play full 16 minutes of hockey games. I know that we're nitpicking at times, Luke, but this has been a pretty significant stretch now where there have been some red flags, right? The team has not played a full 60, and I know that sometimes that can be a cliche, but it feels like they're picking a period where they just kind of take it off right now. And the goaltending has not been phenomenal. So let's just start with that, actually, because Jack Campbell gets chased from the net last night. They're on a back-to-back. Do you have a read on what is going to happen today?
My bet is that Campbell goes back in. And I think that's partly why he was pulled so early. I mean, the team was, you know, they weren't even engaged in the game. Nope. The New Jersey Devils, the last place in the Metro, came out and started taking it to them. So it was also because Keith wanted to get his guys' attention. And Jack has had a few of these slow starts now this month. So that played into it. But I also think the back-to-back played into it because Keith has been loath to pull his goalie. The only other time Jack got pulled this season was that 7-1 absolute debacle in Pittsburgh, and that was like a mercy pull, and he threw in Hutchison for the third period. But to pull Campbell that early suggests to me that he wants him fresh to come back with him tonight, and also, you know, the fact that Mrazek basically played a full game, and NHL coaches rarely go with the same goalie back to back. That's what I think would happen. Although it was interesting after the game when he was asked, Keith was non-committal. And usually he's pretty forthcoming about his starter, and he said he wanted to talk to both guys. So maybe, you know, where's Jack's head at, you know, after this run of games? Like, he's at a bad stretch here. Right? Like, we're talking, I think it's six games where he's let in a minimum of three to five goals for a guy who was playing at a Vezina conversation level. Right before Christmas. So maybe he wants to get a read on where Jack's at, and I'm sure he'll talk to goalie coach Steve Briere and try to get an idea of who's the best guy to go with here.
So when we talk about Jack's, you know, slump, we'll name it for now, what do you think is the main reason? Is it the fact that he hasn't been an NHL starter ever in his career where he's had to manage this type of load? Is it just natural, you know, regression to the type of goaltender he really is? Is it the Leafs defense being a little bit weaker and him having to save a lot of games for them and being exhausted? What would you, you know, put this on if you had to pick one thing?
Well, you know, if I had to pick one thing, I think it would be he was thrown out of his rhythm. I think goaltenders, more than any other position, you get in a groove. He was playing every second or third day there. The team was winning. They were playing strong defense in front of him, and he was in his group. And he got thrown out of that because of the rash of COVID the team got, the postponements to the schedule, and he got out of his rhythm of, okay, you know, rest, game, practice, rest, game. Like, he was dialed in. And also, he had the freedom of knowing the net was his. So there's many factors. One, you know, you subtract Jake Muzzin, who's the team's best defensive defenseman, for a few days here. That plays a factor. Two, I think the team has lost a little bit of interest in playing full 60, like JD mentioned, partly because they're playing some softer teams, and it's almost, they're so good that they know they can come back and win. So they've had some soft starts. And then the other thing is just mentally, how is Jack dealing with this? The fact that Mrazek is healthy now, there could in theory be some competition for his net. There wasn't before because Mrazek wasn't really around the team. He was rehabbing his groin. And then the other thing that I wonder is playing into his mind, because he's a guy who really builds his game on feeling confident and assured in his position. He doesn't have a contract for next year. And, you know, is that creeping into his mind? He would probably never let on if it is or not. but some professional athletes feel more comfortable knowing that they have security next year, and others like Nazem Kadri seem to like that carrot at the end of the stick, you know, and seem to be chasing it. So I think there's a bit of regression to the mean going on as well, just because he was kind of playing otherworldly. And I do think he'll get back to some form, but it is something to watch here.
Dude, what a test for Jack to get a contract, right? A guy who has not played full seasons, okay, got to do it this year. A guy who has not been a full-time starter, well, that was the expectation this year. A guy who has been said to have problems with the mental side of the game, well, now you're in Toronto under the brightest of, you know, spotlights, under the biggest of microscopes, and now you're doing it moving into a month where there are a ton of back-to-backs, a lot of play, and you're going to see the other goaltender in the tandem get a pretty long look at a time where he's looking a bit better than you are. So, yeah, it's massive. I guess the next one, though, is when you talked about the net being open. This is always a harder one to get a read on. I know when you're away from the team, or there's the not the day-to-day of being around a team the same way, at least through COVID. But how open do you think this is the next month? How real do you think Mrazek's opportunity to steal that 1A job is through February?
I still think it's Jack's net. I think Sheldon Keefe has a lot of belief in this guy. And we kind of thought I think back to training camp, you know, before Mrazek got hurt, he comes in with a longer resume, higher paid, more job security in that he has 2 years on his contract beyond this one. And I think a lot of us reporters kind of thought, okay, maybe it's going to be a bit of a battle for the crease. Like, let's see who emerges as number one. And Sheldon said, you know what? It was in my mind all along that Jack Campbell was starting opening night at home. So I always felt that the coach had in his mind that this is Jack Campbell's job to lose. Peter Mrazek would have to come take it from him. And now he's going to his first All-Star game. He carried them through a spectacular first half of the season. I mean, all this conversation is fun fodder, but big picture, the Leafs are still winning a lot of these games. And this might be the best first half that they've had in decades. Like, this is still a good team. But, you know, if this continues, I think, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that if Mrazek gets hot, he could steal it. Now, Mrazek's kind of just been okay. Like, he's been fine, but he hasn't, you know, he hasn't been so head and shoulders that much better that he's taking it right yet.
So if we look at what happened with the lineups, for example, so we've seen Jack and Mrazek kind of back and forth. We did see the Leafs roll out a whole new lineup a couple games ago, and Sheldon Keefe decided to abandon those pretty quick in the realm of, you know, getting some examples of what this could be like. Why do you think he switched it up and went back to it just so quickly?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised just because he kind of really made a big deal about mm-hmm. this is a good time to experiment. And, you know, New Jersey, as I mentioned, this is a pretty soft team, and they're playing them twice. I thought he'd see this experiment through at least to the All-Star break here. But basically, as soon as they got started losing that Detroit game, he abandoned it and, you know, stuck with it. And I think, you know, when the change was made, a lot was, hey, William Nylander's on the third line. How is William Nylander going to score with David Camp? But I think the bigger thing was he's taking Mitch Marner away from Auston Matthews when Auston Matthews wants to defend his Rocket Richard trophy, and Marner's playing the best hockey of his whole season. He's on fire right now. And you take him away from your big gun. So I think there's a little bit of, okay, Keith used the phrase optimal look or optimal lineup yesterday, and he said we got to go back to that. And you could see how those two create, you know, magic together. And I think part of it is I can't take away my best playmaker away from my best shooter when that guy's feeling it the way he is, because Marner's been absolutely fabulous right now, and Matthews did not look good under that 1.5 game stretch where he was taken away from him.
Is this the best you've ever seen Marner?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think because we've seen him go on runs where he's piled up a ton of assists, but the fact that he's on a six-game goal streak and he's got goals on the power play while killing penalties and at even strength, and they've been some beautiful goals, like that one-timer that he scored on John Gibson from distance, like, I haven't seen that shot out of Mitch Marner too often. And, you know, you could tell when you talk to his teammates how much that matters. When Mitch Marner's in a good mood, when Mitch Marner's playing well, which the two are pretty tightly tied together, how it seeps into the room. Like, Justin Hall yesterday was like, I can't even find the words to describe how much this guy means to this team. They need his energy. And, you know, I think Austin wants him on his line. John Tavares probably wants him on his line. Like, if they had another Mitch Marner go around, they'd absolutely love it. Yeah, he's feeling it. And it's just a matter of, can he be in this type of group in May? Because I think there's still a few doubters out there that are probably hard on him because of, you know, the price tag that he comes at and the fact that he couldn't fill the net the last two postseasons. But, you know, when you watch him play both offensively and defensively these days, you know, is there a better all around winger that you'd want on your team? Maybe a couple, not many.
Well, here's the solution, Luke, is the defense is shaky and you don't have enough capable defenders. And with the forward group, everyone wants to play with Marner. Just roll four forwards, one defenseman every once in a while. Mm-hmm. The power play's that been that effective. Speaking of that defense core, in seriousness, though, Jake Muzzin didn't make the trip with the team. It sounds like Sheldon Keefe said the plan is, hey, he was skating a little bit, but we're going to ramp him up around the All-Star break. What's the latest on him and what that timeline might look like? Because I know he was up and down but before he hit the shelf, but this D-core looks like they really need him.
Oh, they need him. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, Timothy Liljegren has had some rough moments, and that's no fault on Timothy. Like, this is a guy that is a rookie. They're trying to develop him and bring him in. But, you know, he's had some rough moments, and, you know, I think the Leafs' greatest weakness is being hard and physical in their own zone, getting the puck back. They're great when they have the puck, but sometimes you need to stop the other team and get the puck back. And Jake Muzzin is really good at that, making it hard to go to the net. Now his health is a question mark. Like, he was practicing in full with the team, non-contact, but, you know, competing for the duration of practice up until Friday. He didn't go with the team on Saturday. And then it was really surprising yesterday at the morning skate, cause they had a full one, that he wasn't on the ice at all. And Sheldon Keefe didn't phrase it as he's had a step back. He said, we're pulling him back and we're giving him some rest. You know, there's only two games. Then there's the All-Star break. We have to be safe. This is a concussion. But to me, that's a bit of a red flag. Like, you're progressing well. You're participating in the practices, and all of a sudden you're not there at all. And I think they're just trying to be safe. But, you know, it's just a guessing game with heads, right? Like, everyone responds to concussions differently. And what makes this a scary thought for Leafs fans is Jake Muzzin's absence in the Columbus series, in the bubble, in the Montreal series. That was really pivotal. You know, most people will point to the John Tavares' absence, and I'm not trying to undercut that by any means, but Jake Muzzin being away when you're trying to protect a lead or be in those tight games is absolutely critical when you don't have a deep blue line.
No. Anybody who doesn't remember properly, because it feels so removed now, but that Columbus, losing him there, I remember it feeling like a death knell. It really felt like, oh man, they're screwed. They're not going to be able to overcome that injury. And sorry, but it did turn out to be correct. And this year, it's weird because Muzzin, he's clearly had a dip in his play from years past with the Leafs. And yet his importance level hasn't changed because of, like, the variety of reasons that you just outlined. But also, dude, I know that they're name brand players because this is Toronto, but the takeaway I had really from last night was this stretch without Muzzin if it has taught us anything about this team, if we're supposed to have any real takeaways here, it's that they can't go into the playoffs with the sixth and seventh defensemen the way that they are. Like, Liljegren can both be a positive story and a you can't have this guy on the team come playoff time story, right? Like, yes, considering where he was at from a year ago, the way the organization viewed him, or the way that many people within the organization viewed him, to how he's played so far this year, is good. That's a good positive step forward. But you're right, man. I can't think of a guy like in recent memory that I was as nervous of when they're on the ice in their own zone or where they have to go and retrieve a puck from someone. And Travis Dermott just looks like a guy who's so completely lost and is just in desperate, desperate need of a change of scenery in order to continue his career, because I just don't see how it's happening in Toronto. Like, how much of this is just simply the organization knows that without Muzzin and this time without having him, that it's, hey, salary cap doesn't matter. They've got to figure out this way to inject at least two guys into here. And it might need to even come before the deadline happens, like well before the deadline happens.
Well, the trick about well before the deadline happens is they're really tight to the cap. And, you know, so Kyle Dubas and Brendan Priddin will have to get creative, and they've shown that they can be creative in the past. But there's incentive to leave it closer to the deadline because you can accrue a little bit of cap space. Like right now, they have Nick Ritchie on the taxi squad, so they're accruing a little bit of cap space. But Sheldon actually mentioned yesterday that he hasn't really had a say in his lineup because they're so tight to the cap. It's not as if he can say, like, oh, can we send this guy down and call up Joey Anderson or Brett Sini or someone, right? Like they're so tight that it's almost handcuffed the coach. And this happened last year. So if you wait a little bit closer to the trade deadline, A, hopefully there's more separation and there's more teams that have declared themselves sellers. Like, you know, the Ducks maybe have made up their mind and hired a GM. Maybe the Islanders have realized that they're too far out of it and they're willing to sell off pieces. Like, it takes two to tango. So there's a reason why you might want to wait a little bit. And the fact that you're winning games takes off the pressure of making that trade right now, I think. But I agree with you. I think you need a healthy Jake Muzzin, and you have to add. I think you have to add another guy or two. And maybe they're just third pairing guys, but they're experienced and they know what it's like to be out there in a D zone draw and the crowd's going nuts and you're up 3-2 and you need to protect that lead. Since Muzzin's gone, they've been in games that are like 6-5, 6-4. Like, those aren't the type of games you're going to get.
We're talking to Luke Fox, NHL writer at Sportsnet, who is also our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So you mentioned the games have been 6-5, 5-4, and they've been games where the Leafs have led by three, they've been down by three, they've had to play in all types of situations. Is this kind of a tiny positive if we look at the last couple weeks at how the Leafs can find a way to win games, whether they're ahead or not, if you look at how that might affect their postseason goals?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a player, that's how you have to look at it. Alexander Kerfoot was really good on this yesterday, basically saying, like, when in that Detroit game, they go in for second intermission, and he's like, there was no sense of, we've lost it, right? We're down by a couple goals, but you look around the dressing room, you see Marner and Matthews and Tavares and Nylander and Riley, and you're like, oh yeah, we can generate a couple goals. We can win this game. And that belief is great, and that theory is great, but you're not going to play the Detroit Red Wings. You're not going to play the New Jersey Devils. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be tough. You're going to draw the Florida Panthers, who are just mowing down everything in sight, or you're going to draw the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have two rings on their fingers. Like, it's going to be a different type of beast. You can't spot the opposition a 2-0 lead in the first 5 minutes in a playoff game and expect to win. So these are bad habits. Yes, it's great that they're winning and they're piling up standings points, and the organization really wants home ice advantage. For when it inevitably goes to a Game 7, because it always goes to a Game 7. But, you know, it's about the habits. And I think Sheldon Keefe is getting a little bit frustrated because he doesn't want to be too hard on the guys. The fact that they're not coming out of the gates firing, and they've kind of hit this midseason lull in terms of being engaged throughout the duration of the game. But it's hard to deliver that message when you're still coming back and winning and the guys know they can win.
100%. 100%. Luke Fox, thanks as always. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of your show.
See you, man. I almost said you too. I was so close. I'm so proud of myself.
You enjoy the rest of your show, yeah, Luke Fox.
It was right there. It was right there. That was Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet, covers the Leafs on a daily basis. Great Twitter handle, at Luke Fox Jukebox. And that insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So I got to say, this Leaf season has been a weird roller coaster. It's been a weird one. Between COVID stoppages and fans and no fans and Jack Campbell red hot and now Jack Campbell way cold and everyone criticizing Marner to Marner being this team's arguably best player over the last 10 games to is this team unlocking something new defensively at the beginning of the year with the addition of a real shutdown line in camp to is this the worst defensive team that the Leafs have fielded in the Kyle Dubas era? It is the power play is the biggest disaster ever. The power play is the greatest power play to ever walk the face of the earth. I get it if you're frustrated with narratives with this team. All I will say is this. They're obviously good, but the Leafs have always been good. That's never really been a question. It's always been a really good team. It's been what changes when it comes to the postseason. So one of those things can be an emphasis on the regular season and making sure you have home ice advantage and that you're in the best spot possible. Good. Leafs are in a great spot that way. I see a little bit of a difference in terms of where they're going to end up points per game, and they're going to have a real opportunity here to finish with the number one seed in the Atlantic. Awesome. That's a really, 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 really nice positive. However, lately, despite these wins, it's feeling very 2019-20, where the Leafs were third in the NHL in goal scoring and 27th in goals against. And yes, can that be an oversimplification? And do we have additional statistics to show us what the Leafs, blah, 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 blah. Tyson Barrie feels very much like Timothy Liljegren 2.0, where I'm saying, oh, that looks nice when you were making a pass to someone, and it looks horrible every other time that hockey is being played. The D pairings all of a sudden don't fit again. It feels like this is a lot of responsibility to have on Rasmus Sandin at his age 21 season when Muzzin's not in the lineup. The Brody-Riley pairing feels really quality, but you got to have something else behind that, and leaning on Jake Muzzin, who's been hurt back-to-back years, feels like a red flag. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's going to be that they just simply are going to have to unlock great goaltending again. I don't know if it's going to be trades. The one thing I know for sure that they have on this roster is they need Mitch to be this Mitch. That in all of this, all of these games, the what are we learning about the Maple Leafs and blah, 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 all we're learning is what we've always known, which is that when Mitch Marner plays this way, the Leafs are deadly. The Leafs are one of the best teams in the NHL. The Leafs are cup contenders. When they don't have him, when he doesn't go that way, when he and Matthews don't dominate to this degree, you don't believe they can win. You know, or at least you don't even think that there's a starting point that doesn't involve luck. And so that's it. This just continues to be a reminder, as stupid as it sounds, that this team really does flow through both those guys, not just the one guy, or that it's not so much the core four as it is the core two.
The good thing is we're seeing it. We're seeing it in spurts. It's just nothing has really, all those things you mentioned, all those this needs to happen and this needs to happen, this needs to happen, they've happened, which is the great thing. We've seen the Leafs at their best in goaltending. We've seen Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews at their best. We've seen when the decor is good. We've seen when it's bad. The thing that is frustrating as a Leafs fan is why can't we string these all together at the same time, right? That is like the pieces are there. You know, they are a really talented team. They have the ability to have Jack Campbell go on and absurd Vezina conversation run. They have the depth where we had that conversation at the beginning of the year where the third line was one of the best lines that they had. They had those value contracts being the biggest steals in hockey. So the pieces are there. It's not something you can deny, but when can they be, you know, meshed into one 60-minute game. That is the thing that I leave every Leafs game saying, okay, you have it all, but put it together at once. Maybe you're saving it for the playoffs. Well, we'll have to wait and see on that one. But, you know, it has been frustrating a bit when they're up and down in terms of putting those things together.
How on your radar last night was Mason Marchment? We haven't
I was hoping we wouldn't.
I know. We hadn't brought it up. I was going to bring it up with Luke. But the conversation went in a couple of different directions.
He had a six-point night.
The Leafs coming back and winning that game was massive for Kyle Dubas yesterday. It really was. Because if they lose to the New Jersey Devils, the last place team, and they do it in that fashion... It's a bad news cycle. And instead it's, hey, you know, Vic starting the show with Austin Matthews scoring an empty net goal and Vic in his Matthews jersey being like, yes, baby, empty regular season net goals. Let's go. Yeah. Marner's playing great. Matthews playing great. But yeah, that was very close to a loss against the Devils and a guy who had 6 points that you traded for. Do you guys, obviously you know because you saw on Twitter yesterday, you remembered, but yeah, Dennis freaking Malgin. Oof. Dubas.
So that Mason Marchment game, per hockeystatcards.com, the game score on that game was 9.78 for Mason Marchment. The next highest in the entire NHL this year is 8.39. So game score... that was Sam Reinhart also last night.
He got a hat trick too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, that's
going on?
The byproduct of it was the guy by him.
Yeah. Johnny Gaudreau leads the league with the top average game score this year of 1.8. Mason Marchment, 9.8 last night, just lapping everyone else on the entire season for single game productivity.
He has 23 points in 21 games this year. This isn't just Mason Marchment had a fluky game, just in case you're wondering. I know there is just no way Kyle Dubas hasn't looked at the schedule multiple times to see when the Leafs play Florida, because this has been a non-story because the Leafs and Panthers don't play each other because of the schedule quirk. Is all of a sudden they're only going to play the Panthers. But as of right now, no Panthers. Leafs fans are not even aware of that team's existence right now, right? They've seen the Anaheim Ducks twice. They've seen the Florida Panthers nunce. It's going to be a story, Kyle. When they come to town, you better hope Mason Marchment doesn't have a six-point game when that goes down, because there's been a lot of praise for this offseason, a lot more praise for, you know, Bunting and Camp than criticism for Richie and Dermott. But that is going to be that's going to be a tough cycle. Mason Marchment, very, very, very good. And it's funny because when that Marchment trade happened, I was pretty... who cares about it? I thought that this was a swap of AHL guys, essentially, right? But there were people that were staunch believers in Mason Marchment. I looked it up yesterday just to have a quick Google search. 73% of people on Sportsnet, when they did the poll, thought that the Florida Panthers won the trade at the time. But I recall very vividly being there at that trade deadline day down at CBC and people going, this is a really, really stupid trade at the time. And me believing that was as hot takey Dubas hate as you could have. Because I went, who cares? It's Mason Marchment. Oof. Oof. This is Florida's revenge for McKeg for Hyman. This is them balancing the universe. I hate it. It hurts. And yes, he is he's a good looking dude, that Mason Marchment. He's a handsome fella.
I just put that in the chat saying, but, Mason Marchment, good at hockey or just good looking? The same as the Jimmy G conversation.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. My eyes, still bluer than yours, Mason. Still no contest. I'll put you in the body bag when it comes to the blue eyes. A little bit of sunlight on my face. Boom. Husky look. Done. You're finished,
Husky
Mason.
Husky look,
no question.
That's funny.
The Wake and Rake, did we do... Was it another trapdoor?
Yeah, it was
2-1. You know what though? Can I tell you guys the truth as we go into the Wake and Rake segment? I genuinely would not care if my bet loses as long as we keep going 2-1. That 2-1 is all that matters to me. 2-1, 3-0, that's all I care about is the team. If it's me that's the trapdoor, fine. It wasn't again. It wasn't again. But 2-1 again in the wake and rake. Our picks for tonight in the Leafs games and in the Raptors game, as well as our best bets, the wake and rake with J.D. Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar, next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Canada's favorite segment, the wake and rake. The segment that has taken Canada by storm. People are clamoring. More picks. More
money.
Winning picks.
Please. Give us money.
Please, free money. I had a guy. Sorry. Hey, shout out to some guy that I forgot to message back because I read it early this morning.
Some guy. Well,
shout out to some guy.
Shout out to some guy that I saw in the Instagram DMs. Always hit me up in the DMs at JD Bug because I usually reply. But this morning I just kind of forgot to. This guy asked me a long-winded question about, hey, what's good in gambling and what's a good winning rate and how do you measure success? And it's such a convoluted question in terms of, you know, you can answer it a million different ways, right? I look at gambling as a sunk cost, not at being profitable ever. And so it's hard to tell someone like, hey, actually, you should be willing to lose money. Like, it's a weird thing to tell a person. But I'll tell you this, bud. What's our winning percentage now, Blake?
It is 64.71%.
That's really, really, really good, some guy. Like, that's really, really, really good. So shout out to you. Shout out to your question. And shout out to us for making these picks every day. 2 or 3. My win is a total asterisk because the game changed probably, I don't know, a couple of hours after it. But either way, I locked it in. I took Grizzlies +3.5. The Grizzlies won, or the Grizzlies lost by 3 points. So they barely covered. But it ended up swinging the line, I think, about 7 points because Embiid didn't play. Either way, it counts. It went in. They don't ask how. They ask how many. Blake Murphy, you've been our best player. You're our team star in the picks, okay? You're our go-to guy. We give you the rock at the closing end of games, and we say, win this out for us. And yesterday you picked the last game on the slate, which is the betting equivalent of, hey, here's the ball. We got 20 seconds left on the shot clock. You're going to drain the clock out. You're going to take the big shot, Blake. You're big shot, Blake. And that pick, the Portland Trailblazers lost by 100 points to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And in the words of the great Tim Robinson, I'm ruined because of you. Explain yourself, sir. I am upset.
So it's worse than just the 17-point loss that the Thunder hung on the Blazers. The Blazers were up in that game by 18 points. The first quarter, I looked at that box score as I was deciding. You know, I was in that weird in-between of, like, post-wraps. Do I start Leafs now? Do I watch the rest of this Warriors game? I ended up going with the Warriors game, in part because the Blazers were up by 18. I thought it was done. They scored 30 points across the second and third quarter, shot 7 of 38 for on three as a team, threatened the season record for fewest free throw attempts. Norm Powell, enemy of the wake and rake. Robert Covington, no longer in Raptors trade machines. Anthony Simons, completely out. Gary Trent Jr. was the only good player on Portland, and now he's on the Raptors. Jeez, what a tough swing there. 33-point swing over the course of that game.
Speaking of Gary Trent Jr., I recall saying that we should bet his over on points once again.
And you and I were on fire last night, man.
I was on fire. So Gary Trent
don't
over
say
on.
Was I making a wee thing? That's hurtful.
Both of us were on the Gary Trent thing, I think. But then yeah. I also said Mitch Marner was going to score. And you're like, boom, Mitch Marner scored. And the Andreas Janssen revenge game that we brought up, he scores.
Didn't you shoot the Janssen one down, though?
I said I wasn't going to bet it because I didn't really believe in him, but I brought it up for the listeners to know that it was a revenge game.
Oh, Ailish, so you get credit for acknowledging that Andreas Janssen played for the Toronto Maple Leafs and exists? And
yeah, well, I didn't say Jimmy Vesey. I forgot about him, and he was a snooze fest. So.
Jimmy Vesey. Oh, boy. Yeah, I can't believe he didn't come back to haunt Sheldon Keefe. Jimmy Vesey.
Anyway,
Vesey fans.
I was feeling a little bit good about those other two, though. So.
Do you know what the lesson of yesterday for Leafs fans should have been, as Mason Marchman scored 6 points and Jimmy Vesey did nothing, is, you know, people who stake their reputations on Dubas going out and getting the fringe guys who we go, oh, they're not in the NHL. They got big, like, problems. But this is going to be the guy who makes it deep in this. Maybe no more reputation calls on the VCs and the Malgans of the world and blah, 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 blah.
The one exception being Josh Hosang, who, if you missed it earlier, was on with us at 7 o'clock. That's hour two if you're looking for it on the podcast. And make sure you subscribe and rate, review, all that good stuff. But Josh Hosang, awesome interview with us earlier. He's the one exception to that rule. You absolutely have faith in him. He's going to lead Canada to a gold medal, and then he's going to come back and join the Leafs later.
And yes, we know the Spotify isn't working. We've had a couple texts in the text line. Working on it. We're trying to get the Spotify thing to work. It's also on Apple and Google Play, apparently has podcasts. So be patient if you're a Spotify listener. We're trying to figure it out.
So to close out last night, we go 2 for 3. Eilish and JD hit. JD's hit. Hopefully you got it early in the day because the line did swing. There was also an oddity in that game, JD, where I worried you were going to miss the cover in overtime, because that's always the worry, right? Like if they cover in regulation, but the game goes to overtime, you've done your work as a bettor. You got it right. You said this game is going to be close enough for the underdog to cover. And then there was the additional oddity in that one of the Grizzlies got a technical free throw to start overtime because of the 76ers getting a tag. So overtime actually started with the Grizzlies in the lead.
Yep.
Which was I can't ever recall that happening before. And like where the line is between, does that technical foul count at 0-0-0 of the fourth? No, or does that technical foul count at 5-0-0 of the overtime? I was worried for that entire overtime that you were going to lose that cover on a technical foul timing technicality.
No, it should have ended the game immediately. That happened during the break. The quarter hasn't started yet. It should be an automatic game-ending penalty, because how amazing would it be? Because that game, imagine on the road, imagine in Philadelphia, if a referee makes a technical foul call at an end of a game as you're about to go into overtime, and then all of a sudden the PA guy goes, everybody leave, the game is over, this guy hit a technical free throw instead of overtime, please exit the stadium peacefully. I just want to see it once in my lifetime. I want to see the depths in which hero refs will hero ref, where they will literally say, I'm calling this game on the spot, it's over,
I gotta
go home.
Doc Rivers, he got credit with the technical foul. I'm still pretty sure it was a technical foul for that guy in the in-game game who hit on 20 in a game of blackjack during the 76ers game. That should have been a technical foul. Let's spin it forward to tonight. Let's keep it rolling. Let's do a little better than 2-3. Let's go 3-3 tonight. Before we make our picks, we start with Leaf lines. Should be an easy one to project, right? They're on the second night of a back-to-back against the same team. We saw how things turned around in that one. Line a little friendlier to the Leafs tonight than it was last night, in part because the Leafs are on the road. The question mark here is the goalie situation for the Leafs, but the Leafs are minus 227 outright, minus 133 in regulation. Eilish, how are you feeling? They're also plus 114 if you wanted to take the puck line. Sorry.
So I think JD brought up a really good point yesterday that also hit, was betting the over. There was 10 goals in the game yesterday, and like 8 of them felt like they came in the first period. So I'm sure you're feeling good about that if you bet the over. I like that again, but now I'm wondering if I don't like it because things might quiet down after a big offensive night. So I just wanted to say it's at 6.5. So wanted to think about that one, depending on who's in net too. If Jack Campbell's in net, he needs to have one of those like crazy good games to solidify that he's not broken and that Leafs can trust him. Maybe it's a quieter night, but the Devils had a goalie in net last night that I had never heard of. So I have
Akira
no idea.
Akira Schmid?
Yep. I thought it was Schmid for a while, like Schmid from
New
Girl.
Oh, he's Mid.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure
Schmid
how I'm...
from New Girl? Schmidt.
Yeah, Schmidt from New Girl, but there's no T on his last name. So, So I'm not sure how I'm going to bet
no
with that
W
one.
No W on his name either.
I want to know if... Who's in net?
John Gillies is the projected goalie. He's kicking at a 904 save percentage right now, compared to 830 for our buddy Akira. So a little bit of a change there. I guess my question with the over-under, and JD, you're kind of the over-under guy here on this show. Luke Fox was just on with us and made it sound like he thinks Campbell is going to be back in the net tonight.
Yeah.
Do you think the Leafs respond to try to pick him up with a more defensive-oriented game?
Blake, you betcha. We're now getting to the point where we've bet together long enough where we can predict each other's bets. This is correct. You know, this is correct. So I've been actually really hot with betting Leafs totals lately because I've been smashing overs and I've been telling people like, hey, take the over, take the over, take the over, take the over. And tonight is one where, Ailish, I feel your trepidation. And Blake, mm-hmm. I am totally betting what you were predicting. So the Leafs are minus 278 to score over 2.5 goals in this game. That's just not good enough odds. Over 3.5 is minus 118. So if you're going to play a total in this one, I like Leafs over minus 118. But here's the thing. I'm not going to touch that one because I don't think that the Leafs are just jumping out and scoring and doing everything. Yes, they'll probably score that because the other goaltender is crap and it's the Devils and whatever. But what I am going to play is the New Jersey Devils under 2.5 goals at minus 128 right now on Coolbet. I just like the Leafs to lock it down tonight. I don't think that the Devils are going to score a ton of goals. Yes, is Toronto's blue line bad? 100%. Does the idea, the prospect of Liljegren and Travis Dermott and all their offensive zone faceoffs still resulting in the back of the Leafs net scare the crap out of me? Absolutely yes. But this team cares about Jack Campbell. They do. They love Jack Campbell. And they know that he's in a funk right now. And they know that he can't have two embarrassing outings against the New Jersey Devils before he heads to the NHL All-Star game and has the world talking about how he's in a monster slump and that he's frustrated. They want him feeling good. They want him going to Las Vegas as Happy Jack, feeling himself, back in the net. It's yours to keep. No goaltending controversy. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm even going to go so far as to bet this a little bit more aggressively, even. I'm going to bet it two
ways. Shutout?
I'm going to bet the under 1.5 goals at plus 220 because I think that's kind of juicy for a game script against a really bad team with a goaltender who's in this spot. So, yeah, it's a little aggressive. It's not very cowardly. So I don't want to hear it from anybody if the Jack Campbell gives in a million goals and he still sucks and Liljegren can't get a puck off anybody to save his life. If Jimmy Vesey makes, like, he's looking like Cam Neely compared to what he's doing by that. I don't want to hear it. But I'm playing the plus 220 at under 1.5 goals for New Jersey.
Our other Toronto game tonight, the Raptors are back in action. They're actually -2.5 favorites at home against the Miami Heat. I'll ask you guys what you think. We don't have player props for this one yet. This is absolutely a stay away from me until we get injury reports. Not only did those two teams engage in a triple overtime game on Saturday, they're both on the second night of a back-to-back as part of a 4-5 stretch. The Raptors played everyone last night, except for Kim Birch, obviously. The Heat had no Lowry.
Is Kim Birch playing tonight?
No Lowry. We don't know yet. But he might be because we're right around the timeline. No Lowry, no Butler, no Tucker last night for the Heat. Spoelstra didn't give a clear indication if Butler or Tucker will play tonight, and it was just, you know, managing the 4-5 or what. So this is a huge stay away for me until the afternoon when we get those updates. I'm sure the same prop things that you guys have been playing and we've all had some success on will be
Gary Trent.
Yeah,
isn't he one game away from breaking the record of most consecutive 330
DeMar's
plus?
Record.
Okay, I like it. I want it.
Also, his 3-point over under has generally been around 2.5. My guess is it ups the 3.5 tonight because he's been so hot. But if it's still a 2.5, that's a nice play too. JD, stay away for you as well.
I'm just going to quickly say that New Jersey, in 4 of their last 6 games before they faced the Leafs, they scored 2 or less. 4 of those 6 games. And it's -2.5 again tonight for their total. This is something that they've done pretty routinely. And they've only scored 1 goal in 2 of those games. 3 of those games. Stars, Hurricanes, and the lowly Coyotes. So 3 of those 6 games, half the time, they've scored less than 2 goals. So Leafs, I'm just saying, if anybody even remotely affiliated with the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight is listening to this, I don't care if you're an equipment manager or whatever, you better use that as bulletin board material for Jack Campbell tonight. There's a Devils team that scored 1 goal in 3 of their last 6 games before facing you. Don't let Jack get embarrassed again, okay? For the love of God, this is a put-the-house-down bet. They've got to respond here, or else you have no pride, and you're going to moon jail. As for the Raptors, this is a stay away of all stayaways. This is obvious. These two teams, you said it earlier, Blake, they always play in a rock fight. They always, it's very back and forth. There's a reason why these two teams went to triple overtime, okay? It doesn't matter what state either one of them is in. They play each other tough. They grind it out. It's always ugly. Someone might get hurt. It's just, that's Heat Raptors. That's Heat Raptors. So
bad vibes.
No, I don't care. That's just the facts. That's the truth. That's not bad vibes. That's just a fact. I am 100% staying away from this game. The only thing that I will do is bet. What's the total? Did you guys say? What's the total?
210.5.
Oh, that's low. That's in by this NBA standard. That's like in my brain standards, 192.5 in normal betting. that's not very. But still, I'm still playing the under because I'm gonna live with the fact that hey, at least if this is a rock fight, I'll make money off of it because I got to watch it anyway. So, yeah, give me the bricks. I'll take the under.
So what are you taking on the Wake and Rake, JD?
On the Wake and Rake, God, I wanted to know what the Gary Trent Jr. line was right now because I really did just want to take his over in points because at this one, he's been a guy that's not gotten hit with the over 20 points yet. I keep seeing him at 18.5, 19.5, and that just feels like free money right now. So, but I don't have a number for it. I don't have a line for it. So it feels kind of crappy to give that one out. I kind of like the Pelicans plus 2.5, but that also against Detroit.
On a back to back, but that's
everybody's on a back to back tonight. Ailish, you go. Yeah.
I'll have one while you're thinking, because we have about 1 minute left here. I'm gonna go Warriors over the Spurs. Warriors 2.5. Let me just pull it up. I just had it. Yeah, they're red hot.
2.5 or minus 1.5.
I'm gonna go minus 2.5. Yeah, they're red hot. They've won 8 of the last 10. Curry just got 40 points last night. Spurs are in a bit of a rut. I feel good about the Warriors tonight, so they're my pick.
No Clay, no Iggy, but they get Otto Porter back. Steph shakes off a bit of a slump with that 40-pointer last night. Thank you to Kevin Porter Jr. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
JD, did you make a decision?
I have not because I keep doing the same thing that I was doing before. So what's the injury report then in this Nuggets game? Because why is the Nuggets line the way that it is? Because this
Jokic is questionable. Jokic has a toe thing.
Okay. That's a toe thing is a real thing for a guy who's 7 feet tall in a regular season game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I can't take that in good conscience.
Because the Nuggets are on fire. If Jokic plays, that's a bang that money line big time.
Oh my God! It's just like that looks like a gift from the gods. Blake is Jokic playing the Timberwolves plus 3?
This is the issue with the 8:30 locking in the Wake and Rakes.
I know.
We saw it with the Grizzlies 76ers game yesterday with the 7-point swing. That's the life we. Our picks are so good that we have to play with the difficulty up and hard, right? We don't know injury status.
I'm just gonna put the Leafs or the Devils under 2.5 goals as my Wake and Rake pick.
Okay, I like
because
that.
I got to tell you, I don't love. Normally, I love the slate. Normally, I wake up and I just have an NBA game and an NHL game I love. And tonight, the NHL looks awful to me yet again. Other than some moneyline underdog picks, like I don't mind. The Rangers at plus 131 tonight against the Panthers on a back-to-back. There's just some things where I go, okay, well, maybe this is worth a value play, right? Senators are plus 235 against the Islanders. I don't think that the Islanders are good enough to ever have plus 235, but I don't want to put those in the Wake and Rake. Those are just long shot, just $5 down on. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the Leafs. I'm going to take the – back them, all right? Toronto Maple Leafs, I want to see you play some defense tonight, Jack. I want to see you make some saves. New Jersey Devils under 2.5 goals. That's my Wake and Rake pick. Lock it in.
So the NBA slate has too many question marks with injury stuff. I like Phoenix against Brooklyn in theory because it doesn't. Ugh. Like the reporting has been that like Harden's probably not going to play, but he hasn't been ruled out yet. The Suns are on fire. I mentioned yesterday that like when I did my research for the pregame hit last night, the Hawks were like second in the league in everything lately, and the Suns were just ahead of them in everything, even though they've had injuries. But until we see an injury report, I can't in good faith. Golden State was the only one I was super confident on heading into this. I'm going to go to hockey. I'm going to take the Predators. The Canucks are only 5-4-4 since that initial dead coach bounce. The Canucks just beat them the other week. So you'd think there'd be a little bit of bounce back here. Now it's in Nashville. And Yossi Saros has been really locked in the last four. Like, Nashville's defense has really turned around after a cold stretch. It's not immense value at where it's at. It projects as about a minus 160, minus 170 kind of game, and it's sitting there at minus 190 on Coolbet. But that
Ooh,
looks like
you're sneaking
the,
that one in.
Yeah, sneaking it in. Whatever.
It's minus 175 where I have it, so we'll let that slide.
And hey, if you're adventurous, you can go minus 115 for the regulation win. I'm just sneaking in. I always want to play it a little safer after a loss.
Listen, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. As the guy who is a coward's parlay, of course I cannot mind it. I have minded the text today, all right? Do better with the text. All right? I'm challenging you, listeners. There's a lot of people listening. I don't care if you're texting gambling stuff. I don't care what you text in. But just make it better than what you did before.